Good evening once more. Turn with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. If you're using a Pew Bible, you can find our passage located on page 554. Once more, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let us give our careful attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The preacher says this: "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to loose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Where did the preacher leave us last week? He writes, "There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment?" If wisdom and madness, pleasure and toil all lead to the same place, vanity and striving after wind, how then are you and I to live out our days under the sun? There is nothing better than for us to do than to recognize that all we have, the good and the bad, the joys and the struggles, come to us from the hand of God. And it's from that vantage point that we are called to then find fulfillment in all our toil that we do under the sun. That's where the preacher left us last week. And now, as we begin to work our way through chapter 3 here, the first section of chapter 3, we come now to tackle the subject of time. Time is interesting. It's something that you and I all live with. It's something that we cannot get more of. It is something that we are bound by as humans. And what we find here in this little piece of poetry, which is a break from the prose we've seen so far from the preacher, is really a meditation on time. The theme of time has already been present throughout Ecclesiastes. We see it in chapter 1, as the preacher points out in verse 4, "A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever." It's there in chapter 1 where we see the cyclical nature of time through what is observed by our own natural eyes. But here, in chapter 3, the preacher now slows down to meditate upon time with this frame of view that all of our lives as humans are frail. This notion of frailty is really specific to this piece of poetry here. Frailty and death is what is in view. Frailty and death are the two themes present in the previous chapter, but here we get it in this form of poetry as the preacher meditates upon these similar themes in a different way. One author, he goes on to outline chapter 3 this way. He states this: There are many ways to embrace our frailty, and nearly all of them involve thinking clearly about time. It is part of living well to accept two things. First, we are enclosed within time's bounds. And second, God is not. So again, we ask the question that we have been asking over and over throughout our time together in Ecclesiastes. Does the Christian faith have a response to what you and I see and experience in this life regarding the frailty that we all know in relation to time? And the response we want to give to this is yes. Yes, the Christian faith does speak to this. Not only do we find it here in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the words of the preacher, but we ultimately find it in the gospel itself. What we have found so far in our time together is that the preacher gives us permission to ask the hard questions of this life. And from that vantage point, we have found, and it will be true again today, that it is only the Christian faith that provides a lasting and satisfying answer to all of life's absurdities, even the frailty you and I face with regards to time. One of the things my Old Testament professor would routinely say is that when it comes to biblical poetry, one way, one framework in which we can understand it is to see that you can do in Hebrew poetry what you cannot do in Hebrew prose. And since this section of Ecclesiastes 3 is poetic in nature, we will follow that sort of theme when it comes to our points here this evening. They are structured around the text, but we don't necessarily follow it verse by verse all the way through. We don't follow it directly in order. We capture it from a big picture perspective. To reflect on this, we're going to have 3 points. The first of which will be bad times. Secondly, we'll look at good times. And third and last, we'll look at the gospel and time. So again, bad times, good times, and the gospel and time. Our first point, bad times. As the preacher opens up here, we see that for everything in this life, there is a season. Everything in this life has a season. This provides really the framing of the poetry we find before us. And it goes on to set the stage for what the preacher is going to expound upon. Athanasius, he is the late 3rd century, early 4th century church father, and he writes this in relation to our passage. Athanasius writes, "This is written in the scriptures and is manifest to all. For although it be hidden and unknown to all, what period of time is allotted to each and how it is allotted, yet everyone knows this, that there is a time for spring and for summer and for autumn and for winter. So, as it is written, there is a time to die and a time to live." There is a time to live and a time to die. This is the opening statement that we find here made by the preacher. And what we find here in chapter 3 in the poem by the preacher is from verses 2 through 8 is really this pairing of related opposites. We have life and we have death. We have a time to plant and a time to reap. We have a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to speak, and a time to be silent, etc. We see what he is getting at here. And really what's taking shape in the text here is that the preacher is using a literary tool that's known as a merism. It's using two contrasting parts to refer to the whole of something. And you and I do this all the time, naturally, in our own speech, probably without even realizing it. If we, lose something, we might say, what? I lost my phone. I have searched high and low. What you're doing here is you're expressing the fact that you have searched everywhere. When a performer says, ladies and gentlemen, they are referring to what? The audience as a whole. In terms of what the preacher is pointing out to, or pointing us to here in verse 2, we see this contrast of being born and dying, and this represents the totality of the human experience. This represents the entirety of the human life. Everyone is born. Everyone who is born will also die. We find weeping and laughing in verse 4. This shows us, again, the whole full range of our emotions that we experience as humans. The list goes on from verse 2 through 8. And what's actually interesting here, as commentators point this out, is that there's actually 14 pairs. 14 pairs that the preacher walks us through here. And it's a double of the number 7, which is that biblical number for completion or perfection. And these pairs walk us through the full range of what you and I experience in this life. Life, death, sorrow, joy, war, peace. The preacher hits on everything that you and I experience between our birth and our death. And there's also a shift that takes place. You may or may not have realized it. One of the key features of Ecclesiastes is the preacher's use of that term, under the sun. We've seen it before a number of times, and I've made the point here that this is one of the key interpretive phrases when it comes to rightly interpreting the book as a whole. But did you notice that there is a shift here in the poetry? What does the preacher say? There is a time for every matter under heaven. What is the reason for this shift? I do think that there is a theological point that the preacher is making here through poetry, which is this: the bad and the good ultimately come to us from the sovereign hand of God. Both the good and the bad come to us from the sovereign hand of God. Everything we experience is under the guise of our sovereign Lord. The good, the bad, the joy, and the sorrow, everything in this life is under the sovereignty of God. And what the preacher does not shy away from here in this poetic section of his work is the fact that we experience things in this life that are bad. And what's unique about this section of chapter 3 is how it's really framed through this lens of time. Death, sorrow, mourning, hate, war, weeping, all of this makes up the human experience. And as Christians, we want to say that, yes, in this life, you will experience these things at times. And it does not make you less spiritual to experience these types of emotions. In fact, it is part of the human condition. So often what you and I can find available to us in the church is that surface level spirituality that basically says, when you come to church, you've better put on that smile. And when you're asked the question of how you are doing, never mind the fact that you and your spouse were in an all-out screaming fight before you pulled into the parking lot. Never mind the fact that your adult children have completely abandoned the faith. Never mind the fact that the sin that you thought was behind you has now crept back into your life in a way that it is way worse than it was before. Never mind those facts. You give that shallow, superficial answer of, I am truly blessed. And you know that deep down in your own heart, that is a lie. And what the preacher is doing here is he's giving us permission to experience the full depth of the human condition. The preacher here is giving you permission to acknowledge the fact that life has its serious ups and downs. And moreover, the Christian faith can handle the full range of the human experience. Because the God of the Bible is not cold nor distant, but allows for the hard and serious questions to be asked. And Ecclesiastes gives us permission to ask those hard and serious questions. But not all is bad, and this leads to our second point, the good times. Like I said, not all is bad. The preacher does not just focus our attention here on the bad times, but to the good as well. And so far, Ecclesiastes has had with it a pretty depressing tone at times. And there's no getting around that, but there is good here to reflect on as well. Alongside the hard times in life, what we find in this section of poetry is also a focus on some of life's most beautiful and cherished moments. There is nothing that is as quite profound like it is to hold your newborn infant child. There is nothing quite like getting together with that close-knit group of friends, and long into the night, you cannot catch your breath because you are laughing so hard. There is nothing quite like a hug from that friend that you haven't seen in a few years. There is nothing quite like being able to build someone up and encourage them. The preacher acknowledges that life is not only has its bad aspects, but also has its good as well. And now what we cannot do is control how much you and I get of each, or how much time we spend in the middle where things just simply go the way they are going. But when it comes to our reflection on the times that we have that are good, we must acknowledge that no matter how good they are, all of it eventually comes to an end. There is a fleeting sense to all of it. Even the good has an expiration date. You experience this as a parent when you hold your infant child and then you find yourself a few years down the road looking back at pictures of them when they were just so small and now they are old. And you ask yourself, where did the time go? You find yourself saying things like, I can't believe how fast the time has gone. And you realize that all of the good times that you and I experience have that element of being frail, of being fleeting in nature. They are, in fact, fleeting. They are not eternal. They are only immediate. I think if the preacher were here in our midst, that he would say something like this: enjoy what you have when God gives it to you, because it doesn't last forever. There is a time and a season for everything. As we seek to not only unpack the text that is before us, but to answer the question we've been asking throughout our time together in Ecclesiastes, of does the Christian faith have an answer to what the preacher is presenting to us, we find ourselves tonight asking this question: how does the gospel relate to time, which is our third point here? As the preacher notes here, through poetry, you and I as humans are bound by time. To put this in to put it into theological categories, what he's pointing out here is the distinction we find in theology between the creature, that'd be you and I, and the Creator. We as humans are created beings. We have a definite beginning. There was a time when we were not. And yet God is not like us in this regard. He is distinct from us here. The God of the Bible exists outside of time. Time is actually part of the created order. Time is a limit to us. It is something, it is a resource that we cannot create more of. And yet, God exists outside of time, and it's actually part of his creation. With God, there is no limits. And in contrast to that, you and I as creatures have limits, time being one of them. The fall has happened in time. Sin takes place in time. And what we find as we open the scriptures is the story of the one who is not bound by time, but who perfectly exists in all of eternity, entering into time, entering into his own creation in order to redeem and to save us. The Apostle Paul makes this very point in Galatians 4. Hear what he says, verse 4 here. Paul writes, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In the right and proper time, our Lord Jesus Christ entered into our existence. He took on flesh, though united with his divinity, yet in his humanity, bound and limited by time. And he did so with the intent purpose to provide for you and I salvation in real time and in real history. The Christian faith rests upon the historical claims that Jesus really existed and that he truly did walk and talk, that he truly died and really rose from the grave. God in the flesh entered into our time-bound existence in order to save us. Later on in Ephesians, Paul writes, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. This is how the gospel relates to time. As we find here, the preacher points out that everything has a time and a season. And so does our salvation. So does our salvation. God in Christ has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Then in real time, Jesus took on flesh and entered into our existence. In real time, Jesus paid for our salvation. In real time, the Holy Spirit applies to us the person and work of Christ, giving us that gift of salvation by faith. What we find here is the preacher reflects on the ups and downs of life in relation to time, in relation to our frailty, in relation to the brokenness and the good that you and I experience in this life, even through poetry. What we find here in the poetry of the preacher is the fact that he points us forward. He points us forward in the story to a real Savior, that when the time was right, when the season was ready, when the fullness of time had come, God the Son incarnated into our world, into our time-bound existence, in order to redeem us and to save us. There is a time for every matter under heaven. Stand with me as we pray. Our great triune God, we thank you that you are a God who not only exists outside of time, but that in time Christ took on flesh for us. And that as we experience all that there is under heaven, the good and the bad, the joy and the sorrow, the life and the death, we know that we have a Savior who has conquered sin and death in our place. And that the Christian faith can handle the real and serious and difficult questions that we face as we toil under the sun. And so, Lord, we thank you that Ecclesiastes gives us that language and that permission to ask these types of questions, that your word does not shy away from difficulty. And Lord, we do pray that as we come to your table here this evening, that you would prepare our hearts as we remember what Christ has done for us. For we pray all of this in his name. Amen. So we prepare to come to the Lord's table.